Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Northwestern College Athletic Podcast. I'm the host, Matt the SID, and I'm glad that you've chosen to tune in to this podcast. Format remains the same. We're going to do a pregame warm-up where we talk about Northwestern athletic happenings and some reminders of some upcoming dates. And then after a short break, we'll bring in our special guest and we'll talk to him or her for the next four quarters. Let's get on with the pregame warm-up. We are in the midst of week one of two of our boys basketball camp under the direction of head coach Chris Korver and assistant coach Ben Miller. Camps are going well. They've been very well attended as well, despite some of the rescheduling because of COVID. But it's gone well for the boys basketball camp, and then last week was the girls basketball camp as well. Also, later on this week is a football prospect camp under the direction of head coach Matt McCarty and his coaching staff. And then in the upcoming weeks, we'll have a track and cross-country camp as well. Those are two separate camps. And then once August hits, we'll have another round of volleyball camps. So stay tuned to the website, nwcraiders.com. Also, another date to throw out there, July 24 is the date of the Red Raider Golf Classic outing. We have tee times in the morning and afternoon, so sign up. And again, go to nwcraiders.com for more information. Another honor for the Red Raider football team, as they were ranked sixth in the College Football America yearbook in the 2020 NAI preseason top 30. This is the second national publication that Northwestern's football team has been recognized as a top 10 team. They were ranked fifth, according to the Street and Smith publication last week. So the honors continue to pour in for the Red Raider football team. Also, we look forward to the dates of August 15 through 17. That is a Saturday, Sunday, Monday. That is the scheduled weekend where our athletes are scheduled to come on campus, move in, and begin practice. Hopefully that will happen. We're anxiously awaiting to see them. And also, one more shout-out. Kudos to Northwestern baseball coach Brian Weedy, who doubles as the MOC Floyd Valley High School baseball coach. His squad just won the Siouxland Conference, and they are 14-1, highly ranked in Class 3A as they wrap up the regular season and look forward to tournament play. So congratulations to Coach Brian Weedy and an outstanding season for the Dutch baseball team. That concludes the pregame warm-up. We'll take a break and come back with our special guest. Welcome back to the Northwestern College Athletic Podcast. I'm the host, Matt the SID. And I'm glad that you have tuned in once again. First quarter, let's introduce the special guest. It's Dr. Paul Bartlett, who has served in a variety of roles here at Northwestern College. Dr. Bartlett, thank you for joining me for the podcast.
Thanks for the invitation.
So what have you been up to? What have you stayed busy with this summer?
Well, most of my time has actually been back in my office trying to work on projects that I wasn't able to get done in the spring because of the COVID-19 disruption and transition to online learning. Other than that, I've been spending some more time with my second granddaughter, just born about 3 weeks ago. I've been able to play some golf still, but my house projects have been a little on the low side. I haven't had much time for that.
We have seen you a lot in the office this summer, and I know that your administrative role is kind of getting the summer class schedule, and that's been occupying a lot of your time.
Yeah, that's part of the normal rhythm, is to work on last-minute scheduling issues or staffing issues, and that's been a little bit more of an issue this year for a variety of reasons. But also, we're working on a self-study of our department that happens every 10 years, so it's pretty intensive, and that's what is taking most of my time right now this summer.
One of the questions that I've asked every podcast guest, all the coaches, is their story with the COVID, that Friday, March 13, and that day, and what you remember, how that all played out for you. So the same question goes to you.
Well, I remember that I was hoping that we can get through another day of classes just because we had just started our second 8 weeks, and I would love to have another contact with a couple of my classes. Also, I remember that we just walked out the racquetball court and learned that it was going to be shut down for a while, and I was very happy that I was able to get at least one more racquetball game in.
How did the switch to the online instructing and teaching go for you?
I think overall it went reasonably well. It was a lot of work, it was not intuitive for me. I much prefer the face-to-face. So we did the best that we could, and I think the students appreciated the efforts that all of us did to convert to an online. I do know that the students miss being in class as well.
That face-to-face is so important. Let's talk about your tenure at Northwestern. What year did you come to Northwestern, and talk about what brought you to Northwestern?
I started in 1984. What brought me to Northwestern actually has to go back to my undergraduate years at Iowa State. I actually was a landscape architecture major, and I had another year of classes, so I stuck around and helped out with some coaching and at the Iowa State wrestling room, and I did that for actually for 2 years, another year after that. And it was during that time I realized that I was in the wrong field. I needed to be in the coaching and teaching field, and so I began to make plans to make that switch. I went to Drake University, got my master's in physical education, was the assistant coach there, and stuck around a couple years after I finished my master's. But it was only a part-time gig, and so I was in need of some full-time employment. I felt like I was ready to take on a head position. And I got a message on my answering machine from the athletic director then, Les Dalma, letting me know about the position. I came up and interviewed in the summer, and I've been here ever since.
Was that the head wrestling position, and was it some teaching at that time?
Yes, it was primarily teaching. It was two-thirds teaching and one-third coaching. I thought that was a pretty good balance, and then I realized how much work there was to being a head coach. So I was quite busy for much of my coaching career.
So you coached from 1984, you coached wrestling until what year? And then I think you also served as a women's golf coach.
I did. Well, I coached wrestling for 22 years. And then starting in 85, I coached women's golf for 13 years. And then I transitioned to full-time academics and been the department chair for the past, I suppose, decade.
How has the sport of wrestling changed in your estimation from the time that you started back in 1984 to right now?
Well, it really is quite interesting. In 1984, the NAI had about 60 members. There became a big exodus shortly after. A lot of conferences went to Division II, so we lost a lot of institutions. Wrestling programs were being dropped, and so we were actually down to about the mid-20s, I'm not sure what decade it was. The NAI has been able to see incredible growth recently in the programs, and I think the number of programs, I'm not exactly sure, probably 70-ish. And the quality of wrestling is quite impressive. It's I think the national champs that we had back in the 80s and 90s were really high caliber, would compete with the folks today, but the depth is so much more in the NAI wrestling today.
What about the recruiting piece back in the 80s and the early 90s compared to now? What has changed about the recruiting efforts?
Well, there's, I think, a couple things. One is I could easily recruit just the senior class each year and have my team. And it became more of a trend that I had to be recruiting the juniors and the seniors at the same time. And so there seems to be a shift of expectation of more contact by the head coach, both within the coaching ranks and also by the students expecting that kind of number of contacts and attention. Then the method of contact has switched quite a bit too, versus phone call and handwritten letters. Now it's much more social media, which I wouldn't be very good at, so I probably got out of the coaching at the right time. And so I think that's a lot more challenging and it more comprehensive than it used to be.
You're listening to the Northwestern College Athletic Podcast, and today's special guest is Dr. Paul Bartlett, back with the second quarter in a moment. Welcome back to the Northwestern College Athletic Podcast. Matt, the SID. I'm the host. Today's guest, Dr. Paul Bartlett. And Paul, what are some of the changes at Northwestern overall as you look at our institution from the time you started till now?
Well, I think one of the biggest changes is the facilities that we've experienced. Great growth in terms of facilities and a steady growth in students. Our facilities are so impressive. The faculty and quality of the faculty and quality of students have remained pretty constant. It's one of the real delights of being at Northwestern. It's one of the reasons that I keep coming back every year, is because I love my colleagues, I love my students. The diversity and the flexibility of academic programs have changed quite a bit. I think we're more sensitive to the employment demands and trying to address the needs, in particular in our discipline of kinesiology. So that's been some of the fun changes that I've seen.
Reflecting on your coaching career, what are some of your favorite moments or most memorable moments throughout your coaching career?
Well, I have several on different levels. When I first came to Northwestern College, I didn't really know what to expect in terms of the quality of students that I had and the quality of wrestlers. And there was a couple wrestlers that I was so excited they actually graduated. I mean, it was a challenge. And when they walked down to get their diploma, I felt like they were walking up to get an All-American award. It was really, really pretty exciting. Others have been in relationship to seeing some real significant spiritual growth, or even young men becoming Christians, and those are some real highlights. I think in terms of coaching, one of the highlights was, and I should have my dates down, but we finished eighth one year. We had four All-Americans, and I believe Coach Dahl was part of that. And just to see the team really, and specific individuals, just really perform at the max at the right time was really fun. And with Coach Dahl in particular, I haven't coached anybody in the finals, but I came the closest with Coach Dahl, and he was just probably 2 seconds away from going into the finals. I mean, he hit a move that probably would have scored if he had two more seconds, and that would have bumped him into the finals. But he was an All-American for me, and that year my highest finisher was a guy named Denny Orr. He took third. And one of the fun things about Denny Orr is that against a particular team, Missouri Valley, the coach had always convinced his opponent that Denny would kind of let down at the end. He tipped his hand. I actually told that to Denny. And then all of a sudden, a light went off, and he just plowed through the backside of that national tournament, took third. It was really fun. Another really fun experience that I think of is, and I can't remember the exact year, but I had two athletes that had a medical injury that didn't allow them to train for about 4 weeks before national. They had qualified early. We had an early qualifying at that time. So the first time that they'd practiced in about a month was right before nationals, and both of them became All-Americans. And it was just really unexpected that they could even last a match, let alone several matches, to be able to be on the podium.
At the national level, you filled in some roles, I believe, if memory serves me, in terms of the Wrestling Coaches Association. What were some of those roles? How did you get into those roles, and what were some of those duties?
Well, I was kind of railroaded into being on a ballot for one of the vice presidents. I was my second year of coaching. Some of the older coaches that had been mentoring me put me up for nomination to be on the ballot. And so there was a rotation that allowed you to get some experience and then eventually become the president. But I stayed involved in a lot of the committees for all of my coaching career. Even my first year, I was a seating representative. Yeah, I was quite involved with the organization.
You're listening to the Northwestern College Athletic Podcast. Back with the third quarter in a moment. Welcome back to the Northwestern College Athletic Podcast. I'm the host, Matt, the SID. Today's guest is Dr. Paul Bartlett. Coach, how did you ever get it started with the sport of wrestling?
Well, it started in junior high. We didn't have junior high athletics. We just had physical education with an intramural program. And so it was the custom in seventh grade and eighth grade to have a wrestling unit. It was a two-week unit, and afterwards it finished with a more or less an intramural tournament. Well, I had done well enough my seventh grade year to win it, and then again my eighth grade year One of the high school wrestlers was one of the officials. And after the match, he asked if I was going to go out for wrestling. And I just said, sure, I'll go out. I actually was planning to go out for diving because I was involved in a gymnastics club at that point. And we didn't have a gymnastics team at the high school that I went to. Well, it's a good thing I didn't go out for diving because I don't like water and I don't like heights. Wrestling seemed to be a good fit. I really struggled my first year. I was so bad. I think I only won 5 matches, and 3 of those were forfeits. And I was about ready to quit. My dad suggested I just give it one more year, and that was the difference. And everything turned around. I had quite a bit of success. Eventually, it led me to competing in college. And so that's how I got into wrestling.
Talk about your collegiate career. How did that go, and where did you go for that?
Well, I went to Iowa State University. It was a mix. It was quite disappointing at first. I really had very high expectations. Iowa State had just won the national title. It was kind of at the end of their dynasty, if you look back at it. And I had a less than satisfying first year, and really put me into tailspin. And it really began a 2-year period in which I was really pretty lost in terms of my focus, because I thought wrestling was it and I wasn't having the success. And it really, looking back at it, was really God working in my life just to tell me that there's something more important, and that was Him. My sophomore year, there was a young man on my team that just lived a life that I was envious of, and he shared with me the gospel, and that was probably the biggest impact of my entire life, was that commitment to say yes to Jesus in my sophomore year. And then it took me about a year to figure out how to blend faith and wrestling together, and then finally my senior year, I had some decent success. I made the national tournament and was in the quarterfinals and part of a team that took second. It was really fun.
How did your interest in golf begin?
Well, I really didn't have much choice with that one. My dad was a golfer, and I think I was carrying a golf club while I was wearing diapers. So I learned the game. I was hung around my dad all the time and when I was growing up, and I kind of put the golf aside when I was serious about my wrestling. That's one of the beauties about golf, is that you can continue with it well beyond any other career. You know, for example, in wrestling, it has a limited lifespan. But golf is a lifetime sport, and it's been a lot of fun.
Describe for the listeners what it is you do with the administrative role in our kinesiology department, exercise science, those aspects.
So being the department chair, I have responsibility for creating schedule and assigning instructional staffing. Also any kind of curriculum changes. And so there's a lot of paperwork that's involved. Anything that the kinesiology department needs to be informed on kind of comes to me. So it's a lot of paperwork. And so it's quite different than coaching, but I'm just as busy, but just doing it differently.
What makes Northwestern a great place?
Well, there's several things. There's the standard ones in terms of the quality of people and the sense of community. And I've already mentioned how I really enjoy my colleagues and my students. But what really caught my attention is that I don't have to worry about or think about separating my faith from any aspect of what I'm doing. It's a seamless expression of my life, whether it be in the classroom or in conversations or in coaching. That has been quite rewarding, and I've grown so much from that opportunity.
Talk about your family, who they are, where they are at in their life currently.
Sure. I met my wife, Sharon, at Iowa State. We were both landscape architecture majors, and we got married in 78. So we're still going pretty strong. I have 2 daughters. My oldest has 2 daughters herself. They live in Carroll, she's a school teacher in Spanish. And my youngest daughter has 2 part-time jobs here in Sioux County. One's at Dort, and one's at the public library here in Orange City. Spent a lot of time at both of their houses trying to fix them up.
And you probably enjoy seeing those granddaughters of yours.
It is so much fun to be a grandpa. for many years, I thought, I don't want to be a grandpa. I just didn't feel like I was old enough to be a grandpa. And there was a stigma there. But it all changes very quickly. It is so cool. What a blessing.
You're listening to the Northwestern College Athletic Podcast, back with the fourth and final quarter in a moment. Welcome back to the Northwestern College Athletic Podcast, fourth and final quarter time with Dr. Paul Bartlett. This is the go-to section, and we'll just jump right into it. Favorite food, Coach Bartlett?
Anything with chocolate.
That is true. You do have a sweet tooth. I've noticed that over the years. Favorite restaurant?
The one that my wife has picked out.
Good answer.
And she's got great taste for both the menu and the atmosphere. So,
well played. Favorite movie?
I have several favorite movies. It's one of the fun things that I do in my spare time. But I always come back to The Chariots of Fire as my favorite movie.
Favorite activity to do during your free time, if you have free time?
Well, golf comes to mind. I love playing golf. I love playing racquetball. Outside of that, I like working with my hands, particularly some kind of carpentry. Just about anything that involves some physical labor. I suppose that's one of the reasons I really like landscape architecture. I threw up my shingle for a while in the 80s as a landscape designer and builder. That was just really fun, the creative project and being able to complete it myself. So I still like doing that kind of thing.
Favorite sport to watch on TV?
Well, I like golf for a couple reasons. I love seeing great golf, and often it puts me to sleep and to take a good nap a Sunday afternoon.
Favorite vacation spot?
I don't know if I have a particular place. It's more of a style, something more kind of in a nature setting, kind of a quaint or unusual lodging close to a village center where you can hang out. Of course, there has to be a golf course close by.
Well, of course.
But my most favorite place to actually visit is Prague. And that hasn't been on a vacation. It's always been related to either mission trip or academic setting. But it's a magical place. It is really, I could go there every year and not get tired of it.
Name a place that you have not been to, but is kind of on your bucket list to go to in the world, anywhere in the world.
Iceland seems to be intriguing to me. And that in Australia, I think, would be pretty fun to visit.
A bucket list sporting event to attend in person.
Any Olympic venue would be really cool.
Who would win in a wrestling match, you or Coach Dahl?
Well, as long as I had the whistle in the rule book, I always win.
Would he say the same thing?
You'd have to ask him.
I will. Who would win in a golf match, you, Coach Den Herter, or Coach Oberson?
Well, if we all played to our handicap, it would be a tie.
Fair enough. Who's one of the toughest wrestlers you've ever coached?
One of the toughest. Well, that can be defined a couple different ways. In terms of someone who was the most punishing, there are two that I can think of. There was Kurt Van Hill. He was a two-time All-American, just dominant. Tracy Ping, also just incredibly dominant. And then Denny Orr, he was just physically punishing. But in terms of toughest, there is I've had some athletes that have competed with pretty significant injuries and just have gutted it out. Those are quite inspiring to me, too. I have several athletes that have impressed me with their toughness that way.
Which of these scenarios is most likely to play out? And this involves you and me. Do I come within 5 points in a racquetball match? Do I come within 10 strokes on 9 holes of golf? Or can I last 1 minute in a wrestling match against you? Which is the most likely of those?
Probably the golf one. You probably can come within 10 strokes on 9 holes.
How about 18 holes?
Maybe.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. Coach Bartlett, you're off the hot seat. Thank you for joining us for the podcast. It's been great. We'll have to do it again.
It's been fun.